Blog Talk Radio. As of the 1st of October 2019, in South Australia, a new law was passed that allows a public servant to enter, remain, inspect, or use reasonable force to break into any premise, place, vehicle or vessel. This public servant can remove items from the premises to be used as evidence in future, and a warrant is not required if there is a suspicion, just a suspicion, that a vulnerable adult is at risk of abuse. Matters will then be directed to a court or tribunal that is not bound by the rules of evidence, can determine matters as it thinks fit, and can reach an outcome, just, on the balance of probabilities. Not beyond reasonable doubt. Victims often end up a ward of state. The public guardian and public trustee are often placed as the ultimate decision maker and take over all affairs. These laws are expected to be rolled out in other states next year. Are you scared yet?
Good evening, everyone. This is Marty Oakley of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this is the TS Radio Network. And surprise, 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 guess who's on co-hosting tonight? I know I'm just setting myself up here for a headbanging session, but everybody, please say hello and welcome back to Debbie Dahmer.
Hello, everyone, and I'm so happy to be on tonight, Marty, and honored, and thank you so much. Yeah. If everybody don't know, I am the host for Voices Care for Animals on Animal Advocates Radio, and I want to really thank Marty because he's the one that got me started out there. We started together. I did 163 shows, Marty, on your network, Voices Care for Animals, and you led me down. You taught me, and you know, I got to give you a huge thank you because you're the roots of all of this, making it happen.
Well. We're trying to make a whole lot of things happen, but we have a special guest with us this evening who only agreed to come on because Debbie was going to be on here. I know that's the truth. You can tell me different. We've had her on before. Carol Herman with Foundation Aiding the Elderly is with us this evening. Carol, welcome to the show.
Well, hi, Marty and Debbie. It's a pleasure to do the show again. It's always good to bring information to the general public to make life easier for them, or at least give them the knowledge to what to look out for when you're a senior and what's kind of going on with in the government regulations, long-term care, et cetera. So it's my pleasure.
Well, I'll tell you, this thing is blown up, Carol. We are now working internationally, and that promo I played from Australia, it's even worse there than here. But we are hearing from people in France and Germany, Belgium, Switzerland, Canada. They are doing the same things there.
I noticed on the promo that you, when they talked about the Australian, they were talking about the public guardians. They were talking about the guardians and going in and so that's pretty scary. I got onto the public guardian issue about 28 years ago. I never even knew what that was. And so that is probably the next biggest scandal to hit the country or all over is public guardianships.
Well, and public guardianships. And,
well,
and there's
the public
a difference
guardians
between that
are...
and... But see, there's a difference between that and a private for-profit guardian.
Oh, I already know that.
A private...
I got the law passed
yeah,
in
but
California.
The public doesn't. But a
well,
lot
the,
of
public
the public
guardian,
doesn't...
they're...
Go ahead.
The public guardians, my experience, is they're usually licensed social workers. So they carry a license, and they work for the public sector. But private fiduciaries are totally unlicensed. At least they were until about 10 years ago when I got a law passed in California that says they have to be licensed now. And there's a place that you can file complaints. Don't ask me how it's working because it wasn't really properly financed and, you know, whatever. But that
right.
California was the first state in the union that required private fiduciaries to hold a license. So,
well, and the difference in the law is that, see, you can sue a private fiduciary, as you know, in a civil or criminal lawsuit, but a public guardian is protected by the state, and they claim
not real,
immunity.
No, because I sued the public guardian's office in Sacramento County about
bless
oh,
your
gosh,
heart
quite a few years ago. I did
yeah.
on behalf of one of my clients, and I was appointed the guardian that liked him to bring the lawsuit. You can
good
sue
you.
A public entity. It
yeah.
You have to jump through a lot of hoops, and
yeah.
you have to advise them prior to filing any kind of an action, but you can,
right.
the public can file a lawsuit against a public entity. It just takes a lot to do it.
Exactly,
so.
And this is exactly what they did. They erected a system, like you say, where you have to jump through all these hoops. You have to
oh,
do
yeah.
all this crap before you can get to them. But it basically is part of the protection racket that operates to keep these people in business. I've never, when I got into this, Carol, and when Deb and I were doing shows together and stuff, never imagined that this was happening anywhere but here in the States. How could it happen here of all places? And then to find out over the years, they're doing this everywhere. And this, people
oh,
talk
yeah.
about this redistribution of wealth. Oh, you're taking from the rich and you're giving it to poor people who don't want to work. That's not what's happening. What's happening is the whole middle class is being dispossessed of their property, of their finance, and a lot of it is done through this guardianship crap.
Oh, it's a racket. And
oh,
nobody
yes.
has really paid. But the problem being, and I know this was not on my list to talk about, but since we're talking about it, the problem being is that it involves the court. So when you court sanctions this, it's the judges in these probate departments. And I call the probate department the probate mafia because they're the ones that are, you know, sanctioning these guardianships. And I'm not saying that there aren't cases that somebody should be under a guardianship because maybe they're vulnerable
right.
or they don't have anybody watching over and they're easy prey for people to steal their money. But I'm seeing it too often with families and with when elderly people have a power of attorney designated, they have their will already in place, that these public entities, guardianships, are coming in and
mm-hmm.
they're just throwing that all out, changing everything,
yep.
appointing themselves,
yep.
and the courts are sanctioning it. So the problem
well, see,
is...
Well, probate is not actually a court of law, and
yeah, I think
it is
we
not
have
a
this
court
this,
of record.
Yeah, we have this
and
discussion
so we're
before.
Battling that here in Minnesota, we're battling that now. This is a whole different set of animals. They don't have to follow the law because they don't operate under the law, the common law. They operate under statute and code, and they can make that say anything they want to. And
oh,
you
yeah.
can't do a damn thing about it.
Right. It
yeah.
becomes
go
a
ahead.
Matter of interpretation. And,
yeah.
You know, I've had cases where, especially in the public guardian, and there are certain regulations every state, I think, may have some different ones. But in California, you have to report the accounting every 18 months. Well, I caught this one case. It was 8 years. And it was under public guardianship,
oh, wow.
and I'll tell you where mm-hmm. it was, Santa Clara County. And my poor client, they made him homeless. They stole all the he was a second marriage, and the wife had property. They never were accountable for it. They never filed an accounting. We never could find out where the houses were. It was 8 years later. And I could not find a lawyer to help this guy, so I went in myself as a private citizen and act like a lawyer. Like, here's Your Honor, here's what's going on. And they never filed an accounting under probate, California probate codes. That's an automatic dismissal. If they don't follow the law, but they didn't do it because, see, it was the county public guardian that did it. So it got covered up. So they protect themselves. And they, you know, and so us poor consumers are victims of this. So
Now you had several things, Carol, you wanted to discuss here. So take it from here and get out there what you need
to
get out.
Well, and you know, one of the topics that, you know, and I know that you featured part of my newsletter in your promotions on this is that, you know, the regulations that are not being enforced. And, of course, I'm a believer in holding people accountable. And when you have the, you know, the legislature goes through the appropriate exercises to enact a law and a regulation, it's supposed to be in the benefit of the consumer. Well, they have all these regulations, especially in nursing homes, residential care facilities, assisted living facilities, acute care hospitals. There's all these federal and state regulations to make sure that we, the consumer, are not victimized and taken advantage, and especially our most vulnerable citizens, the elderly. And what's happening is the reason why this continues to go on is because the federal and state regulators are not enforcing the law, and nobody is holding anybody accountable. So these operators that are operating these facilities, I've never met a poor one. They're all very wealthy people. So they're making all this money. They're making all this money basically on our tax dollars because the majority of the people in these long-term care facilities, nursing homes in particular, it's all coming from Medicare money or Medi-Cal, Medi-Cal in California, Medicaid everywhere else. So our tax dollars are really paying for these operators to line their pockets full of money at the expense of our most vulnerable citizens, the elderly. And nobody is being held accountable. And I can say that because we have clients in every state. We have filed complaints in numerous states. They are very rude to us. They're not used to anybody questioning them. They count on the public not knowing what their rights are. So when you start calling these regulators and saying, wait a minute, you're supposed to do this, this, and this, and here's the violations, why didn't you issue a citation against this facility for the bed sores? They get all upset. And I have them hang up on me. They literally just say, when they can't answer a question, they hang up on you. So I'm pretty persistent, and I just go over their head. But, you know, an ordinary Joe public doesn't know what their rights are, one, and they really don't have the backing of an organization like mine to really stand up for the rights of their family member who is a victim. So they back off because they figure that they cannot stand up to this. Well, I shouldn't be doing this job. There should be no need for my organization to be monitoring the long-term care industry. That's the government should be doing that. So it kind of upsets me that I'm doing their job.
Right.
And
I don't blame
I've had
you.
So that was one of the things I wanted to talk about was the regulations that really require enforcement. And, you know, we just have to be loud about it. I'm very loud about it. And I try to get my clients to also be loud about it, try to get the press involved. You know, the press is pretty good about it, but, you know, it depends on what's on their, you know, the editor's topic for the day. And sometimes it's not always about, you know, the elderly. So we have to know what our rights are, and we have to be able to stand up for those rights. And, you know, people that can't do that will call my office to get our assistance to help them file complaints.
I know, like I say, we're fighting a heck of a battle up here in Minnesota, And we even had one lady took her mother and fled the country to get away from this fiduciary corporation up here. And but like you're talking about, Carol, it's very well connected with the legislature here. And it's now operating across at least three states. And there, you can't get a reasonable response. Most of the times, no response. You can't get anything out of these people. And here, I don't know about there in California, but here, probate judges are not actually judges. They're only hearing examiners or ministerial clerks.
Right.
And they don't have to have any legal training because they are not dealing with law. And that's what people need to understand. They are not dealing with law. So
exactly.
This
well,
here
are their judges. And there's probate codes and there's statutes and everything that they have to abide by. So and you know, I just told a client today on a situation with a conservatorship that we have personally filed 3 complaints against this facility. My client's mother, who's under guardianship because she won a lawsuit, and it's a long story I won't even get into, but somebody wanted that money, and they did not want the kids to have it, so they had her conserved, and the kids and the children have been fighting this, but she had about $1 million. Well, the county here in Sacramento, and not Sacramento, but in California, they wanted that money, so they conserved her and said,
yes.
Made all these stories about the kids and yada yada, the whole thing. So now they're every time the daughter complains, she calls me and I file complaints against the facility, and it gets covered up because this particular facility that these people are being placed in have a relationship with the county to place these conservatees under their care, and they limit the family's visits, they deny their visits. It's a continual battle. So they had a court hearing this morning, just this morning, and I did all the paperwork for my client. I could not. It's 4 hours from Sacramento. It's way down south. I couldn't go for them, but I helped them.
Yeah.
She couldn't get an attorney, so I, you know, I'm not a lawyer, but I knew what to do. And the judge was so rude that now we're thinking of filing a complaint against the judge with judicial counsel here in California. You can file complaints against judges.
Well, and you know, I had someone advise me that is quite learned in the law and said, you're wasting your time with, like, filing complaints with the Bar Association or these judicial oversights. You need to file a claim for damages. And, you know, this was malfeasance, an abuse of his position. And so file a claim for judgment. This needs
to
be
rectified.
I'm
not sure if that works in California. I don't know. I'd have to look into that. But judicial counsel here, even if they, you know, poo-poo it away and they don't do anything, and even with the bar, too. I mean, it takes an act of Congress to get a lawyer sanctioned. But at least there's a record of it. And I always encourage my clients to file the complaints. You might not be happy with the results, but at least there's a record of it. So all of a sudden, if 10 complaints come in against a certain lawyer or a judge, well, then maybe somebody's going to pay attention. But they're very protected. We know that. I mean, we all know that the courts are very protected. So and this whole conservatorship thing is going to escalate, especially when, you know, the older generations, and I'm talking, you know, women in their late 80s, early 90s, their husbands are dead, and that generation, they never believed in credit cards. They believed in you don't buy anything unless you can pay for it. Most of them, their homes are paid for, so they're in their easy prey. So the system moves in on them. And here in California, I had a client that I was helping with at a similar situation with conservatorships, and she came up with this theory, well, you know, my mother's house is under Prop 13. Now, in California, Prop 13 means if you're under Prop 13, it's been around since the 70s, your tax base on your property tax is low, really low.
Okay.
But if you sell the house, the person coming in next does not get that break.
Okay.
So you've got all these elderly people that homes are paid for, they're in a low tax bracket, but property tax. But if they sell that house,
yeah,
or the public guardian comes and sells that house, well, all of a sudden it's at a higher tax base, so the county makes more money. So it behooves the judges to sell that,
mm-hmm,
property. So,
yes,
it's always about the money, and it's pathetic,
yes,
and nobody is holding anybody's feet to the fire.
Well, and that's the thing, Carol. You know, we've done so many of these shows. I'm going into starting my 12th year in June. And, you know, I just, to see this just keeps rolling. And it's getting worse. The more of us who reach retirement age, the bigger,
oh,
the cases get, the more property that's stolen, the more people,
oh,
that are dying prematurely. And go ahead.
It's just going to get worse unless somebody puts a stop to this. And I don't know, you know, we've tried to expose it, and, you know, we have, our arms reach out pretty far. I mean, we've got clients in every,
yes,
state. And,
yes,
you know, we've been unsuccessful in really, other than doing some, you know, exposés like with the LA Times that really instigated us getting this fiduciary board established in California. But I think if anybody's,
uh-huh,
listening, you know, your audience, the states need to put in a system, it's better than nothing, that these private fiduciaries need to be licensed. Now, I found out in the South, most of the conservators or guardians are lawyers. That's scary,
mm-hmm,
too.
Yes.
So,
yes,
they know the law. They know how to get around it. It's very scary. It's very scary.
Yes.
And if you have a will and a trust and all that, and they can come in and just throw it out and start a whole new thing.
Exactly.
They take your bank account. They take your bank accounts immediately. Immediately.
Yep.
And now,
Carol, this is one of the things I keep telling people about. Fraud has occurred in one of two places, either in that tribunal. Those are civil tribunals. They are not courts of law. And that judge has discarded your pre-existing legal instruments. Either he committed fraud, or she, or the attorney who helped you set out, set up that estate planning and charged you those thousands of dollars, committed fraud because they knew those things would not stand up. They weren't worth the paper they were written on. So,
exactly,
somebody needs to be held accountable here.
Yeah.
Yeah, go,
well,
ahead.
Well, that's the whole thing, and it's the whole thing in anything, you know.
Yes.
You know, you have to be – people have to be held accountable. And that's what,
yeah,
I'm seeing that the system is not doing. And it's a lot of areas, not just this area. But, you know, here in California, it's so liberal, and I don't want to bring up any politics. But it's very,
yeah,
liberal here, and it seems like those people are getting protected that don't contribute to anything. And those,
yeah,
that are contributing to make this a better life for everybody are the ones that are getting screwed over. Excuse my French. But,
yes. That's all right.
So, I don't know, something, and what I've done this work for now, what, 37 years, 36 years? It's worse now than it was when I started. Because,
yeah,
nobody is being held accountable. It's like, go out and murder,
exactly,
somebody. If you're not going to get charged, well, go murder again. So I don't know what's happened to our system here. I don't know what's happening to the politicians. They're in it for the money. All they care about is getting reelected. A good,
yep,
example, I've had calls in now since last week to two politicians here in California that are actually in my district, that are my representatives that sit on the health committee in California, because I've got all this legislation that needs to be passed. There's all these loopholes. Do you think I haven't had a call back yet. And I'm pretty well known.
No. Yes.
So it's scary. The regulations aren't being enforced, and the people in power are controlling everything, and it's certainly not in our best interest.
No, it isn't. I think what's so unfortunate, Carol, when I finished up my speech at the summit, and I keep talking about this because I think until it sinks into people what's actually happening, the one thing,
mm-hmm,
we learned from Hitler and the Nazis was you don't want to go out and make a big bloody mess and create all kinds of chaos. You come in through the back door.
Exactly.
And you do it incrementally, and you make it sound soft and fuzzy. And then you start this killing machine that we call hospice, and now we've got medical murder going on in hospitals. They just nailed that one doctor in Ohio for taking out 34 elderly patients on his own. And but this, if we bring it in through the back, and we condition the public slowly and gradually to accept the idea that it's okay to get rid of the elderly. It's okay.
Well,
we
now,
they're not productive anymore. Yeah.
Right. Now, that leads me into a movie that I saw, oh, my God, I don't even know what year it was. I think it was in the 60s. I'm not sure. It's called Soylent Green.
Yes,
and it was with Charlton Heston and Edmund G. Robinson. And it was like, you know, fast forward to the year 2020, actually. It could have been 2020. And the end of the world and what they do. And it's shocking. That movie had a real big impact on me. And I was a young girl at the time. Really had an impact
on me. It did
a
lot of people.
What happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, what happens when I turn 65? Well, Soylent Green, they kill you.
Yep.
So I'm looking at hospice. Now, I've got a real big hospice case going on right now.
Okay.
They're still in the drugs.
Yes.
It's totally unmonitored. And I've got this case where there's a hospital in Nevada that has a hospice company that they run, but it's located in California, across the line, state line. Well, my client, mother, went on hospice, and they brought her all these drugs with no names on it, no doctor's name on it, no nothing. Well, she, you know, she was clueless. Well, long fast forward, she gave her mother too much morphine because they never gave her any instructions. Took her mother to another hospital emergency room, and they said, "Oh my God, what did you give her?" And then she showed them. She said, "Well, the hospice company gave me all these vials of morphine, and they gave me this bubble pack with all of this Ativan in it, and said, 'Oh, if your mother has pains, just give her these drugs.'" She says, "I didn't know any different." She had smart enough to take her to a different hospital. Well, I filed a complaint with in the state of California on that. They unsubstantiated it. And I went, "Well, how could you do that with all the evidence I gave you?" They said, "Well, the hospice company denied bringing the drugs to your client. They said your client went to a pharmacy and got morphine and Ativan herself."
What?
And I said, "You tell me how that happens. You can't go in. Those are black box drugs. You can't just walk in and buy them like it's a bottle of aspirin." So I have now, I elevated that out of the Department of Public Health and is now being investigated by law enforcement.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I says, "Well, how could you?" Oh, I'm so disgusted with the state of California. You have no idea. You have no idea.
I think everybody is disgusted with their state once they get caught up in this trap, Carol. And, you know, all these years I still get people who say, "Well, you must have done something wrong or they wouldn't have done that." Well, if you know, there's no way. No, you didn't have to do anything. You just had to age with the assets. And then we have predators like that one running up there in Detroit that is doing it by volume. All of her wards, she has more than 1,700 now. She's taking everybody's Social Security, their railroad retirements if they have it, their VA retirements if they have it.
Oh,
she stashes them in one of her residential homes that's never been inspected, and one of them burnt here a couple years ago and killed five people. She never got charged. She's still in business. And this
deplorable.
Is one of the most predatory systems I have ever seen, that our state and federal government sit there and pretend they don't know, and nobody told them. Why, you know, I never heard as well, that must be an isolated incident. Oh no, we've been screaming at you all these years. You know, and you helped keep this system
in
place.
Oh, they know. They definitely know. They choose to. They choose to, which is investigative misconduct and obstruction of justice. They're all guilty of that.
Yes.
So, but it's just bringing a case against them and exposing it. And believe me, I'm diligently working on that right now with just California. because since we file so many complaints, we've got, you know, we've helped almost 8,000 families now all over the country. I've got the data.
Oh, wow.
So, and at my fingertips, because I did the work. You know, my organization files complaint. My organization interviews the victims. We have all the data. So, but, you know, even with that, it's very difficult to penetrate this system that protects the guilty and not the innocent.
Yes. One of the things, Carol, that has dogged me since this started, I got into this, was when I tried to talk to a legislator or something, which is who I thought I should go to, they said, well, you have to report it to the police first. Okay, so I did. They said, oh, no, you have to go to the sheriff's department. So I did. And they said, oh, no, you have to go to the state's attorney general. So I did.
See?
And
see?
It was there. That was where they told me. And on the federal level, they told me the same thing. You misunderstand. We are not here to protect you. We are here to protect the state from you. And we only move if there is a damage interest to the state, meaning did we lose money? Is basically what it gets down to. Did what you did cost us money, or is it going to cost us money?
Right.
And, you know, when I sat back and really thought about the scope of that, it is no wonder our legislators won't do anything. For God's sake, who's going to hold them accountable? Who is going to hold them accountable? Nobody.
Exactly.
Nobody.
Well, I'll tell you, it's, I don't know, it's the government is so, has run amok, and I don't know if it's ever going to, you know, I don't want to get political here, but clean out the swamp, but there's, you can't fire these people, and I'm going, well, wait a minute, they wouldn't last 2 minutes in the real world.
Right.
Your work, the government should not have a thing where you're protected. So if you go to work for the government, oh, well, you can not do your job. You can do whatever you want because nobody's going to fire you. Well, you know,
no.
President Trump just did an edict about a year ago that if you work for the VA, because he is so much for the veterans, you can get fired.
Yeah, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true.
Well,
that's one of those
it's not true?
Fallacies. No, I work with veterans groups all the time, have for quite some time. No, that's not true. What he got mad about was the whistleblowers coming out of the VA administration over the abuse and the fraud and the waste and the vets being left alone like paraplegics, the whole floor of them left alone at that Memphis hospital and not a nurse or an orderly, anybody in sight. What he actually did was he cut benefits to the hospitals. They're already
I thought he did a presidential edict that you'd get fired.
No, what that was about was they said it was impossible, nearly impossible, the way everything was set up to fire a federal employee. And so what he did was, and he used the VA as an example, now you can fire these. No, you can't. No, you can't. You can fire low-level employees, but those guys at the top that run all of this and blow the money and waste it and do all this other stuff, no, you can't touch them. They do like they do with everything. They don't fire them. They take them out of that facility, move them to another one. They just play, you know, round table. They just keep moving them around. But no, and then he cut the funding to the VAs, and what they want to do is privatize them. And I keep telling people, this is fascism. You keep screaming socialism, communism. This is fascism. This is corporate control of absolutely everything. And no corporation would be remotely interested in the VA if the potential for massive, unhinged profits wasn't there. And who's going to finance all of that? Taxpayers. And
Go ahead. It's a sad situation. I don't know who's got the answer to any of this. It's just that people have to know what their rights are and be able to stand up to fight them. I have a special thing with the vets here, you know, because we've represented so many vets. And a couple of years ago, we featured one in our newsletter who was not just a vet. He was a war hero in Vietnam. Highly decorated, was he had the full treatment at Arlington with the riderless horse, the whole treatment, because he was a war hero. And his wife's comment that I quoted her in our newsletter was, "I wish my husband had died in Vietnam rather than from bed sores in a nursing home in California."
Yes, yes.
That says it all. You know.
Yes. And Carol, here a few years ago, I was getting documentation on a case out of Pennsylvania, actually. And it was, the people sent me the documentation. I'm going through it. And here I come across a letter in there from a psychiatrist who worked routinely with this same bunch in this same tribunal. And he diagnosed the individual with bipolar disorder. You remember there for years, everybody was bipolar. I don't care for them who it was, they were bipolar. And they finally quit that. But he said, based on what I've been told, never saw the person, positively bipolar disorder. P.S., if this doesn't work, let me know. I'll write you up something else. But in this stack of stuff, Carol, was a email that had gone out to several other attorneys, guardians, and other people that said, it appears to me, from studying the situation very carefully, that the next big profit center for guardianship is the veterans. We have more than 2 million of them.
Oh,
yes.
Believe me, I had one veteran who saved his money. He had all these bonds and everything for me, about $500,000, and a private conservator that they were missing. I even got in touch with JAG, which is the lawyers for, what are they called, JAG, military.
Yes.
Whatever they, but
adjutant,
and
general.
I had the little guy go and meet with them, but it didn't go anywhere.
Nope.
I said, well, it's because it's the court, and nobody wants to go up against the judge because they're supposed to, you know it all. They're supposed to be, the authority, and that they're in cahoots with them.
Oh, you bet.
But,
none of this happens, Carol, without the facilitation of that judge. That judge, hearing examiner, ministerial clerk, whatever title they're operating under.
Right.
That magistrate,
well, it's like
whomever,
exactly.
Everything pivots around them. They make
it's
it all
like
work.
The case that I had that went into the hearing this morning, and my clients called me afterwards, they were so upset. The judge actually said, it's the woman's mother, but she and her husband had been married for like 45, 50 years, right? And so he wanted to make a statement. It's his mother-in-law. And she goes, well, whatever you have to say is not going to mean anything because you're not a family member. He says, well, wait a minute. This is my mother-in-law. Well, no matter what you say, it doesn't matter to this court. And I went, well, I'm getting a transcript to that hearing today, and I'm going to help them file a complaint with judicial review in California. That judge was so out of – and these are judges.
Yes.
They are judges.
Yeah.
They're not tribunals or anything like that. These are judges.
Yeah.
I'm going to get that person. And it's a woman. I was really shocked. I'm shocked at the women. I don't know why.
Yes.
But I would think they would be more compassionate.
You just hit on something that has plagued me throughout all of this, is the number of women that are participating in this. This, as a woman, shocks me that so many of these women, these predators, these judges, they're women. What happened to you?
I don't know, but I tell you, the worst public guard, worst private fiduciary in this area where I live is a woman. She's the biggest thief,
God.
And of course I can't mention names. She's the biggest thief, but she's very connected to a judge who sits on the Court of Appeal in the state of California. And I think he's as crooked as she is, but how do you get these people? They're so powerful.
Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
That's what gets me. And Carol, can I ask you a question there?
Sure.
With these regulators, not doing their job, they're getting paid to do a job, and they're not doing their jobs. These elderly, they're just like the children and animals. They're voiceless and helpless, defenseless, innocent. Where do you go from there if they're not doing their jobs, and it just keeps going in a vicious cycle? You
right.
know, if they don't do their job, they shouldn't have that job. You
no.
know, so
but see, you
it's
can't
crazy.
Fire them. Although,
and that's terrible.
It is. Mm. Now, the miracle that happened after my aunt died in 82, the miracle that happened then, because I really didn't know what I was doing then, but I just pushed and pushed. The regulator that I filed the complaint when my aunt was abused in the nursing home, he destroyed my complaint and stonewalled me for a year. Well, I got him fired, which was unheard of, but he got fired. He
yeah.
should have gone to jail. And then he went, he lost his pension. He could never work for a government agency again. Then he went to work for the nursing home industry. Well, that's when I realized that they were in bed with one another. The regulators are in bed with
yeah.
the industry. So I've done that
yep.
ever
yep.
since. And nobody else that I know of has ever been fired since then. And
yeah.
But I have filed two lawsuits against the state of California for their failure to investigate nursing home cases. And I've got some laws passed, but I have to stay
yep.
on top of it because they violate the regulations all the time. But you know, the ordinary
yeah.
consumer out there is not going to do what we do, and they because one
right.
they don't know what the regulations are. Two, they don't have an organization behind them. Now I can go up to a legislator now and say, wait a minute, I'm coming in to see you today, but I've got 8,000 people behind me. I've got everything documented,
yeah.
so you can't dismiss me. You know,
yeah.
I know what I'm talking about. So they get nervous about that, but the ordinary guy
yes.
on the street doesn't know that, can't do that.
Carol,
yeah,
up here in Minnesota, here a year before last, the Health and Human Services Director, who was supposed to be handling nursing home complaints, was found to have not investigated 26,000, almost 27,000 complaints.
Oh,
never investigated.
I believe it.
He said it was because their computer system was outdated. Well,
yeah, right.
he was allowed to resign his position so he could keep all his accrued government benefits. Whenever you
uh-huh.
see somebody in the Fed or in the government that gets to resign from their job, it's so that they can keep their benefits, even if they go on and get charged, which they never do. Well, we got a new Health and Human Services Director, and they made a big grand announcement this summer about how they had cleaned up 17,000, almost 18,000 of these complaints. And somebody said, geez, they sure did that fast. I said, well, see, you had to read Minnesota statute. If you have a complaint against a nursing home, what will happen is the attorneys will keep asking for continuances, and they're playing beat the clock, and then that person conveniently dies. The statute says if the person on behalf of whom the complaint is being made passes away, the case folds. That's
well,
how they
see,
clean
that's
up. That's
how it used to be in California, but they got that got changed in California with the Elder
Abuse
Act.
Yeah, we need to change that here.
Oh, yeah, and it – We
yep.
That was changed, and I worked with this lawyer out of L.A., and that was, oh, my God, 20 years ago maybe? That's the way it was. If the patient died, everything died with that person. You couldn't sue them.
Yes.
But, see, it's different now in California. It doesn't matter. If the person dies, you can still bring an action. That's now, that would be a civil case.
I want to see a copy. Yeah, I want to see a copy of that law, if you wouldn't mind. Because I'll rework it for Minnesota and submit it here. Because
now, I'm thinking
this is
that that one case I had, I think, Sykeston. Is that Sykeston County? Is that Minnesota? I think it was in Minnesota.
That doesn't sound familiar, but that doesn't mean it isn't.
Because I had a case there that I did when we were talking about conservatorship case in Minnesota, and I started filing complaints against the nursing home because the mother was being very mistreated, and they just
uh-huh.
oh God, they were so terrible to me.
Yeah.
What are you calling here for? Who are you? Because see, they're not.
Yeah.
I've worked here 17 years, and nobody has ever called and asked these questions. And I said, well, the reason why is because they don't know what the law is, and they don't know what their rights are. So I do know what those rights are, and I'm going to be representing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's in Missouri.
Okay.
It's in Missouri. But they just treated me terrible. And I have found that in Texas. I found it in New York. Now I'm working on a complaint in Georgia. Boy, they don't want anybody questioning them. And I'm going, wait a minute. This was, you know, abuse. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is after 35 years of doing this work, and I think it's worse now than ever. And it's really
I have to agree.
Disgusting.
Carol, it's worse than when I started. One of the reasons I had approached Deb back years ago about coming on air with me was I had interviewed her about her dad, Chief White Owl, and what had happened with him. That's how I came to know her. And we were just really digging into it at that time of how perverse and pervasive this system was. And to be this far along in it, not nearly with the time in it that you put in, but to be this far along in it and having dealt with over 1,000 cases all from all over the country, and to see that instead of the system getting better and things being rectified, it's our own government that is putting up the obstacle. It is erecting
these
laws.
At a very high level. These operators of these facilities, they've got carte blanche to bill whatever they want. They know that the system is negligent in investigations. They know that.
Right.
So, and then you've got them, they're big campaign contributors. Believe me.
Yeah.
You know, big campaign contributors. So who gets, if you paid, and the first time I ever went to a politician's office after this happened with my aunt, and I'm not going to tell you who it is because the politician became well known later. And when I walked in that office, and it was like, well, is your foundation going to be a campaign contributor? And I went, what?
Oh.
Do I have to give you money for you? Do you know? And I told him, no, and we never will be. Well, fast forward 30 plus 5 years, we will not donate to any politician. Absolutely not.
Yes,
you work
for
the public. I do not have to pay you to represent my rights.
That's
so,
right.
There you go.
You know,
that's good
it's,
for you.
You know, I won't do it. And that's not how the game's supposed to be played. That's how it turned out to play. But they don't represent us.
No.
They represent whoever gives them the most money.
They
it's
will,
all about
and
money,
I keep telling
Carol.
People.
Yeah. Profit before
well,
people.
They can,
that's the name of the game.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be bonds and stocks. It can be property. It doesn't have to necessarily be cash. It can be Caribbean vacations. It can be all kinds of things, perks that are thrown in. But just do this our way, okay? And, you know, and we'll take care of you. We'll take care of you. And these people are for sale. I don't know why they don't have a notice on the outside of their doors that says, this office is for sale. What do you got?
Exactly.
Because
well,
they
I'll
all are.
I had another case about a year ago, and it was a whistleblower case, a woman that worked for the regulators in California, blew the whistle on them. And she just couldn't, it was really difficult. She just couldn't get anybody to file any kind of charges against these people. Well, she took a civil case and sued, and she sued the government. See, you can do that. So they did her lawyer took depositions of the top officials in the Southern California area that were monitoring nursing homes. And one of the questions to these managers, and there were three involved, three different depositions, same question. Have you ever taken any have you ever been paid off by any nursing home operator in, like, gifts or anything like that? Lawyer for the person. I've advised my client to take the fifth.
Oh.
All three of these top managers took the fifth.
Yeah. Yep.
And I tried to get them, I tried to get a law enforcement involved in this. Somebody needs to look at these people. They took the fifth. You're telling me nobody takes the fifth if they're not guilty. I don't care.
Right.
You don't say, I refuse to answer that, I'm taking the fifth, unless you've got something to hide. Nobody would go after, and guess what happened? They ended up retiring, all three of them. Now they've got a big, fat pension, all benefits, And, you know, I'm looking at some of these people, they're making over $100,000 on pensions. And I'm going, this makes me sick to my stomach.
And you're paying for their health insurance and
absolutely.
God knows what else.
And they were dishonest. Yep. They were getting kickbacks. They were getting paid off by these facilities. And nobody was held accountable to this day. And it really bothers me a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, what can I say?
One of the things that bothers me, too, is especially, well, it can be state or federal, but here in the state, if there's a bill coming up, you know, and you see who's sponsoring it and it might not be in your district, and you contact them and say, you know, I'd like to talk to you about this. What's your zip code? They call it zipping.
Doesn't that kill you?
Yeah. And so I can't talk to you because you're not in my district.
Oh,
as a professional courtesy to other members of the legislature, you know, I only talk to people in my district. So my response to that is, okay, if that's the way it is and you can't speak to me about it, then please do like George Doofus Bush did. And when a bill was forced on him that he had to sign that he didn't want to abide by, I said, he issued a signing statement. I'd like you to do the same thing, saying that your vote applies only to the people in your district.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one legislator here write me back. He goes, that's ridiculous. And I said, you were not elected to represent just the people in your district.
Right.
You're to represent the state as a whole from that district.
You know
and
what
I
I've
said,
learned
you
to
have
do?
What's that?
You know what I've learned to do on a case like that? I go to the committees. I go to the committee people. In other words, Health and Human Services Committee. And then I look to see who's sitting on that committee. And the one I'm working on here in California just so happens to be my two legislators sit on these two health committees for the Senate and the they are my members. But if you go to somebody who sits on a committee, like the health committee or the judicial committee or that, and you have information to help them, that's the committee they're on. They can't use that, oh, you're not in my district. Well, you're on the committee.
Yeah.
So the committee
that's
needs
good.
To know
that's
this.
That's good advice.
Yeah,
okay.
I would definitely. Okay.
Yeah, we've got
a caller
here. Let me get him queued up.
I got him. 619.
That's
you're live
San Diego.
On air. Welcome to TS Radio.
Yes. Hello, this is Marion Hollingsworth. How are you, Carol? And
hey,
Marie.
Hi, Marion. Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, I heard about this. I thought I'd call in and just listen in and see what y'all are talking about. And what I've noticed lately in looking at the CalHealth Fund for the state health department website for nursing homes and hospitals is that often there will be complaints that are substantiated, like even sexual assault complaints, infection complaints, retained object complaints in hospitals, and they say they're substantiated, but no deficiencies.
No violation.
No violations.
Yeah. Oh, that's happening all the time now. It's happening all the time. And you know what they're doing? They're using federal regs, which are not as punitive. I'm focusing this on California. They're not using Title 22 regulations, which is California law, which is more punitive. They're using federal tags that are not as punitive. And I'm fighting those continually. They're coming back with that. Oh, well, yeah, there were bed sores or there was a hematoma of the brain, but no violation of the regulations. Well,
how do we fight that then?
Well, I'm just going through the appeal processes and getting it to headquarters. And then I'm now trying to get a couple of legislators, like you probably heard, and get their attention about all of this and what's going on and what we've documented over the past couple of years about now it's this thing, they did get bed sores, but there's no violation. So, it's okay for the facilities to cause the most vulnerable citizens of this state to get stage 4 bed sores and die from blood poisoning? Really?
Yes.
So it's just, we just have to be loud and still be there. And it's very frustrating for us advocates, Marion. You know that.
Yes.
She's an advocate as well. It's very difficult.
Yes.
But you got to be able to stand up to them and put it right in their face and try to get publicity, try to get the press involved, just to expose it. But even if you do that, like we do all the time, it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've had two states now. Like I say, we do it incrementally. We have two states that have passed laws saying it's okay to starve the mentally ill and those with dementia to death. See, they're kicking this into high speed. We've got another caller on here. We've just got a few minutes here.
Okay.
Area code 561.
You're live and on the air. Go ahead. We have comments or questions for the guests. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Hi. My name is Renee Thompson. I'm in West Palm Beach, Florida. I just recently got to know Debbie really well, so she turned me on.
Yes. Hi, Renee.
Debbie.
Thanks for calling in.
Yes. Yes. This is wonderful. I haven't been involved in the abuse of the elderly very long, probably for the last year. With my mom in a nursing home, and so this is a fabulous program. I was looking on your site, Carol, so this is great. It's been absolutely horrifying. I don't understand how I went through DCF Elder Affairs, had two umbermans telling me to my face in the nursing home, you're right, you need to get your mother out, they're going to eventually kill her, have an ACA investigator in there, gone through new people at the Palm Beach Post, even a newsman at Channel 5 here locally, tell me that unless she dies in a nursing home where I can prove it, that's the only way they'll put it on the news or have anything to do with it.
That's absurd.
Right.
Yes.
And she's still in there. And I, when I go in also, they are, the administration and nurses are verbally attacking me.
Of course.
And
they want to make you the bad guy. Sure.
And
it diverts the attention away from what they're really doing.
Yes.
So I'm a little surprised on how this is able to be done. I couldn't do this in other businesses. I would be thrown out.
But you're dealing with the government.
Yeah.
They're not accountable for anything.
No. You're absolutely right.
I'm glad I got to get to know Debbie and now getting to know all of you and keep in touch, and I want to be involved in everything.
Is your mother still alive?
Oh yeah, she's 93. If she wasn't as healthy as
is she still in that nursing home that you're complaining about?
Yes.
Well, it's hard to file a complaint. Did you ever file a complaint with the regulators in Florida?
Oh yeah, DCF, Elder Affairs, and ACA.
Uh-huh. And they never did anything.
Oh, they came in and they said nothing.
Well, I don't
proven.
Know.
I have pictures.
Who,
I have video. I have, you name it.
Is that who licenses them, though? In Florida.
That's who regulates them, yes.
So they go in and do the annual inspections and follow up on complaints, right?
Yes.
Well, if you want to give my office a call tomorrow, maybe I can help you with something on that.
Okay. I have videos and pictures.
We've only got 90 seconds left here. Yeah.
Renee,
that hour was like
that. Marion. And Carol, thanks for calling in or coming on again. And Marty, thanks for all your support.
Yeah.
Always.
Always. You know, do it as often as you can, Marty, because it certainly is sending the message out. And but people have to know that it's a difficult battle, that we are at a disadvantage. We're not big campaign contributors, but these are human rights that are being violated.
Yes.
And it's pretty pathetic. And this whole thing on the guardianships and hospice is very scary. Hospice is very scary.
Yes, it is. And the people being
really
murdered
in
hospice.
Hospice.
Yeah.
Marty, Marcia? She does shows on hospice?
Yes.
Oh, you go, Carol.
Oh,
it's tomorrow
pretty
night,
scary.
Everybody. And, Renee, you might be interested in this. We're having Florida Medical Rights on. This is a group in Florida that is fighting the free kill bill. So you might want to listen to that. I'm sorry, everyone. We're out of time. Carol, thank you so much for coming on.
Okay, you're quite welcome. And it was my pleasure.
We'll do
this again. Thank you, Carol.
All right.
Thank you, Marty.
Okay, thank you, Marty, for doing the program.
Everybody have a great evening. And, Renee, I'll be talking to you, okay?
Okay, have a good evening, everybody.
Info.
Thank you. Okay,
thank you
that'll be great.
Good night.
Okay, good night.